Subject to deals, I like them better when we're talking about a property with high equity. And this doesn't sound like it. It sounds like hey, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios on the road. I'm still out here in Long Island, but I got something I wanted to share with you really quickly, and let's get into it. There's about four different questions that I'm going to answer today. In fact, the topic of this video is realtors and subject to failure with driving for dollars. Realtors and subjects to failure with driving for dollars. So there are questions here about subject to working with realtors and driving for dollars. And it's kind of it's a lot more fun to go through question and answers and just answer the questions. And the way I answer the questions are not designed to be the end all be all, but I want you to think, okay? I just want to force you to think about some of these things, okay? But don't forget to download the book smartrealestatewholesaling.com. That's where you can find the full book, and you need to read the book 10 to 15 times to grasp the full concept of the things that I share with you and why they work, okay? All right, so the first question goes, I was able to take over a property subject to $5,000 in California. My original thought was to fix and flip, but now I'm thinking of keeping the property for myself and pass it on to my daughter. There's a $97,000 loan and needs about $60,000 to rehab. All right, so that's a $97,000 loan that needs about $60,000 to rehab. The reason for this change of heart is because I live in the Bay Area, but the property is 2 hours away in a small town. I rent a room for $800 and I've never owned a house. What do you guys think? Smart to keep it, or is it a better business decision to fix and flip? By the way, I have yet to do a deal. So newbie here, how do you all... No, that's a different question. So let's answer this one first, okay? So subject to for $5,000. So you have to spend $5,000 up front, okay? And that's a $97,000 loan. When people talk about subject to, they always assume at the back of their mind that there's no obligation. There are going to be obligations attached to that $97,000 loan. I get it. You don't have to pay. You just pay the monthly payment, right? And you're just paying the monthly payment. And I get it that you're paying down the equity. But now you're talking about there's a $60,000 rehab. That's additional work. So in total, you're going to be spending $65,000 up front. There's going to be a lien of $97,000 against the property, okay? So even if your $65,000 is instant equity in the property, it still doesn't justify for $97,000 of lien against the property. But it's not real cash. You're paying down a loan, and hopefully everybody stays loyal to their contract. And you know, as you pay down the loan, you continue to own the property. Now you can take the deed, right? You're taking the deed from the owner, but subject to existing loan, and in hopes that you will continue to pay $97,000. So the only obligation you have is $97,000. So if we do that math from mortgagecalculator.org, let's see what's the obligation here, okay? And remember, there are gonna be taxes and things like that as well on the property, okay? So it's $97,000. I'm gonna put this at zero. Okay. All right. So you end up with 463. Well, we're gonna put the percentage at 5%. Okay. You end up at around $525 in monthly payment of mortgage, but there's also, you know, interest, taxes, and insurance, right? So you definitely want to take that into consideration. But you paid $65,000 upfront for this property. If you go into the regular market and you purchase a property for $65,000, same scenario, you'll be paying $349 every month, okay? So now, the only reason why this will be a good deal, right, is if you have such a bad credit, right? But if you're trying to flip the property, if you flip the property, somebody has to pay for the $97,000. Does that make sense? Unless you find a subject to person to flip it to. So now how much are they willing to pay you? Another $5,000 maybe? Okay, so that person will end up with $70,000, right? And they have a $97,000. So there's really one little missing information here. And I see a lot of people talking about subject to without, because they think it doesn't matter, right? But it always matters. You should find out what the after repair value of the property is. So if there's a $97,000 owed against a $250,000 worth house right now, I would definitely want to take a look and see what's going on. If there's a $97,000 owed against a property that's appraised at $50,000, then I would definitely be side-eyeing the deal and will walk away, right? But because it's subject to, stop trying to avoid the ARV conversation, after repair value. That's really, really a big deal, and you need to find out what that is, especially when you're talking about total cost of acquisition being very close to what the mortgage note is actually worth, which is $97,000 loan, right? So you need to know what that is before we can determine if this is even a deal or not, right? Then also, when you're talking about subject to properties, now you start to talk about you want to live in the property. The idea here is that you rent it out, and the spread, the arbitrage between how much a tenant is paying and how much you're paying on the existing loan, that's really, really the juicy part right there. You miss that out by saying you're falling in love and you may decide you want to live in this property because you have an $800 that you pay for a rental. Well, you pay $800 for that rental, but you're not attached to any obligations with that rental, so it's not the same value. You really should not be falling emotionally heads over heels with deals. That's really the key thing here. Let's go on to the next question here. I'm working on a closing on a subject to deal. Another subject to deal. The seller asked if they can still deduct interest from the mortgage, since the debt remains in their name. On the mortgage statement, a large portion of the monthly payment represents interest, a smaller portion for principal, taxes, and insurance. You know why? Because the mortgage is not well matured and the mortgage is young. It's probably a few years into it. Because a few years into a mortgage, most of the money goes towards interest, right? And towards the end of a 30 years mortgage, most of the money goes towards principal, right? So subject to deals, I like them better when we're talking about a property with high equity. And this doesn't sound like it. It sounds like a fresh mortgage that was taken not too long ago. And it sounds like there's no true way to add value to this deal already, okay? Because at the end of the day, you make money when you add value to the marketplace. If you're not adding some type of value, there's no money to be made. Typically, mostly, especially if you're talking about sustainable money to be made, okay? I'm almost certain that they cannot deduct the mortgage interest on their taxes. No, they can't, honestly, you know, because once you do that, you call the attention of the bank to the fact that your deeds are changing hands, and then you can trigger what they call the due on sale clause, okay? Which means they have the power to say, you change the deed, somebody else has the deed, where you owe us $300,000 now, okay? And that's not the whole idea here. The idea is to not have to trigger that clause, okay? You want to keep everything moving smooth the way it was without touching interest, taxes, or whatever. Like, it sounds like it was an escrow. It was being paid into escrow so that the bank can take care of it. I wouldn't touch any of that. You need to roll all of that with your numbers. All right, so, and because the deed is now in my name, just wanted to get confirmation that I'm looking at this correctly and clarifications from other experienced subject to professionals. Please help, thanks. No, the idea is subject to existing mortgage payment. That means PITI. That means principal, interest, taxes, insurance, okay? So Yeah, I'm calling about a property. Okay, so it's another question, sorry. So yeah, I'm calling, let's see here. Okay, so these are shorter questions. Let me see if I can fly through them. So yeah, I'm calling about the property from my unlisted number, and they have a block on accepting my calls, okay? So if it's not a listed number, they have a block on accepting your calls. What the hell am I supposed to do? I don't want this mofos knowing my real number. Is there a workaround? Well, I don't understand why you don't want them to know your real number. Really, if you receive a lead, you should be calling with your real number. What are you hiding? Call with your real number, tell them you have an offer for their property and buy the house. Put the house under contract and flip it for a nice $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a day, right? Why are you hiding your number? If you have to hide your number, that means you're not confident that this business is legal or it's legit, then you really shouldn't be doing it because they can tell in your energy, okay? So that's that again. Here's another question. So newbie here, how are y'all? I make $300 a week. Obviously not big money to buy a house. Says who? Not even for myself. What is the first steps I should take? First step is to educate yourself. You need education, invest in your education. You got $300, you can do a whole lot with that. You make $300 per week. That's exactly how I started. I used to work for FedEx. I was making $300 per week as a college student, and yeah, I didn't have a family though. So, but $300 can go far, because basically the first step is to invest in your education at that level. And you need to do that. And I will do that for at least 90 days, investing in my education. I have a book that I'm writing right now. I'm on chapter 9. It's about 15 chapters. It's called Real Estate Money Secret. And in that book, there's tons of ways to make money in real estate and leverage real estate to improve your financial profile. All right. So it's all you can do. There's a lot you can do with $300 per week. So you rethink that, and that will come from education. So invest in your education. All right, so last but not least here, or no, actually I got two more questions to answer. If a seller is potentially interested in working with you, but they currently are working with the realtor, the seller says the realtor is taking too long and they are ready to sell. Okay, they're motivated, right? How do you handle it? Well, we need to talk numbers, okay? If they are motivated to sell right now, let's see about 65% of after repair value. Will they accept that or less? How much do they owe? Will they accept how much they owe or less? That's when we talk about motivation, okay? If somebody is not willing, as a wholesaling real estate professional, if somebody is not willing to accept 65% of what the property is worth minus the repair cost, right? Or if they owe much more than that, if they're not willing to accept what they owe and nothing more, then they're not really motivated, okay? All right, so you just need to be careful about your definition of motivation. And a lot of people say motivation, especially wholesalers, and they're talking about just because somebody wants to sell, they're motivated. Just because they want to sell doesn't mean they're motivated, at least not to the standard of what you need to do to make your business work, okay? So we need to talk numbers. That will be how I handle it. Look at the numbers, put my offer in, and get a yes or no. If it's a no, I would say, this is why I gave you that offer. You know, I give that offer because this is a business for us and we have to make money because we're gonna do some repairs and it's gonna take time for the house to sell on the market. Because of that, we cannot pay more than this. If they're motivated, they'll run with it, okay? So another question here, can they just get out of the contract with the realtor? If they want the offer, and the offer you just presented, if they want to work with their realtor, then they have to pay their realtor. That's a fee out of their pocket. If they don't want to pay their realtor, they have to make decisions on their own if they want to fire their realtor or not. But again, that would be based on the number of offer, or the number in the offer that I give them, okay? So, you know, money talks, you know. Let's talk money and see if the number works for you. If the number works for them, they can decide that they want to save that 2.53% realtor. That will be their decision to make. That's not really a problem to worry about. So ethically, like you asked here, do you try to convince to wait it out? No, I don't try to convince nobody to wait nothing out. If it's a deal on the table right now and money to be made and make somebody happy, that's making money ethically. As far as the loyalty to the other realtor, that's up to them completely, because you don't have any obligations to the realtor. They do, and it's up to them if they want to honor that or not. I'll tell you this much, clients honor that based on how they feel about the services being offered. So they have the right to pull in or pull out of a situation if they don't feel being served. At the end of the day, it's about the service, okay? Do you try to get them to work with you? No, I don't get into sales mode. I just offer what I have, and I maintain my posture, and I use attraction marketing, okay? Because I maintain my posture, because that's what's gonna make them attracted to working with me, if I'm confident in what I just offer them, and they feel like that's the only choice that they have right now. Then they will either run with me or decide to be loyal to the realtor who hasn't really provided them or served them, right? Provided them with a service or served them, all right? So, it's none of your business, their loyalty to the realtor. You know, I just give them my offer and let them decide if they want to pay some of that money to a realtor or they want to keep all of it. It's completely up to them, okay? Because that's how it works. The seller pays the realtor a certain percentage that they agree in their listing contract, okay? Can you still do such deals and make money? Yes, by remaining in your posture. If you try to force anything, you can lose the deal. They can panic and say, what are you doing? We don't know. We don't understand wholesaling. That's when people back out of things like that. And even if people decide they don't understand, even with you remaining cool and calm, it doesn't matter, because you have a pipeline. You have people calling you all the time. You're always marketing, and it's just one out of so many leads that you're getting if you're doing this the right way. If you don't know what marketing in real estate wholesaling is, download my book and go all the way through the funnel and find a way to talk to me so I can help you get you to your first deal, okay, as fast as possible. Last but not least question to answer here. Out driving for dollars today. I've been trying to get in contact with the owner. The number doesn't work. Not delinquent on taxes, okay? What would you do next? I'm still trying to figure this out. It's a newbie. Okay, awesome. As a newbie, it's a beautiful place to be. There's too many non-newbies and not making money, and their ears are blocked because their ears are clogged up with too much information overload, and they're not taking action or they're not marketing, okay? For you, that's a good thing that you're not always soaked in always. So you're driving for dollars. You found a property, maybe overgrown weed and things like that, and you need to have one source that you use to try to find the contact. If you can't find it in that one source to find it, if you want, you can add additional sources. You can have up to 3, 4, 5. Bottom line is that you need to turn this to a system. You have 3 or 4 to 5 places where you look up people's information. You can't find the information, you need to move on to the next lead. The idea is for you to have options. If you can't find the information as fast as possible, move on to the next lead. You don't have time. Generate enough leads so that you can move on to the next lead. If you're not generating enough leads, you get desperate about one particular house that you found on the block, you're not going to make money. This is a numbers game. You need leads coming. You need to build a pipeline that leads are coming in every day, aka you need to learn how to market. So if you want to learn how to do that, you want to do it through here, the book is absolutely for free. smartrealestatewholesaling.com. That's where you want to go. Download the book absolutely for free. If you want the option of audible.com, you want the option of paperback, that option is over there as well too. Just go to smartrealestatewholesaling.com. Hopefully you'll be enlightened and educated. You like this video, please give it a thumbs up and smash that like button. And please leave a comment if you have any questions, anything like that. As you can see, I really, really enjoy answering these questions, and I try to be as straightforward as possible and not sugarcoat anything for you. This is real business, this is real work, and it takes real skills to make money in it long term. I'm not talking about the lucky ones that closed one deal. I'm talking about long term creating a business out of this, okay? And again, like I said, hopefully you'll be enlightened, educated, and I'll see you on the next one, and peace.